Before we dive into today's podcast, this episode is sponsored by Rebuy, an end-to-end personalization platform for Shopify and Shopify Plus stores. Now, personalizing your Shopify store isn't a nice to have. It's definitely a must. You know, did you know that over 75% of online shoppers are more inclined to buy from brands that offer a personalized shopping experience? You know, it's no surprise then that stores that embrace personalization, they see significant boosts in conversion rates and average order value and even customer lifetime value. So if you're looking for the simplest and most effective way to deliver smart, tailored experiences to your Shopify customers, look no further than Rebuy. This is a powerful platform and has a suite of game-changing features. A few that I love: AI-powered smart search is really there to help shoppers find exactly what they need. They also have precise and well-timed product recommendations. Really, that's there to increase your cart size. And the best part, I love their smart cart. It's stunning and intelligent shopping cart experience. I would say it's market leading. It's the best. You know, and with results like this, it's clear why more than 10,000 of the fastest Shopify stores have already turned to Rebuy to wow their customers and skyrocket their sales. So don't miss out on the personalization revolution, because it's happening right now. And as a special guest to e-commerce Fastlane listeners, Rebuy is offering the first 45 days absolutely free. And all you have to do is go to rebuyengine.com/Fastlane. And there you can sign up and get going on this platform absolutely free.
You're listening to E-commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Well, welcome back to E-commerce Fastlane. I'm your host, Steve Hutt. You know, thanks so much for tuning in today. You know, and thank you so much. I have a privilege of speaking with an incredible guest today. His name is Christopher Pantanelli. He's the head of SEO, and he's a co-founder of a company called Linkify.io. So that's Linkify.io. Linkify.io. And, you know, Christopher, really, he's a highly respected — I did some research kind of before recording today — and he's very respected in the world of digital PR and link building. His company that he launched is Linkify. They really are there to double down and focus on e-commerce brands, particularly in the Shopify ecosystem, really to gain these valuable white hat links and really to solidify kind of the online presence for a business. Like, we all want this free organic traffic. We all know for a fact that it's the highest ROI there is, because there's a very small amount of long-term investment, but man, oh man, it pays dividends 6 months or a year later by having a campaign and getting started. What's great about Linkify too, what I believe they kind of stand out a little bit in the industry, is the quality of what they do. Like, there's lots of link building and kind of SEO agencies that are out there, but what's very unique about them is that they only have what's called a domain rating, like a DR79+, which means these brands are these kind of media properties where they're getting links to these Shopify stores. These are extremely high quality, high authoritative, and Google knows that. And when you are able to get a link, a contextual link, either from like from a niche edit, like on an existing article, or a brand new published article on one of their media properties, it pays itself in spades. I know all about this. Fortunately, with the podcast, you know, when you have Apple and Google and Spotify and others, a very high domain authority in a podcast pointing back to your show notes, that's there because age domain and lots of authoritative inbound links, including Forbes and Shopify and others pointing to me. And that just happens over time. So that's what we're going to learn today. We're going to really understand why link building and PR, how it's really helping brands improve their revenue, customer loyalty. So hi, Chris, welcome to E-commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's an absolute privilege to be here on the E-commerce Fastlane podcast. I've been a fan for a while. It's great to connect with you and your audience. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I can tell by your accent. I know you're in England right now. It is, I think it's, if I'm guessing, it's just after 6 p.m. Your local time. I just really appreciate the evening hustle to kind of make this work, because it's like, this is really near and dear to my heart, kind of this SEO and high authority inbound links as it relates to growing an organic reach, like your share of search, having a high click-through rate. There's lots of interesting things that are going on. And I really want to make sure that people, my listeners, really understand the value of organic traffic and how to get it. As I mentioned at the top of the show, it has the highest kind of ROI out of any strategy you can possibly implement long-term for your consumer brand. So
yeah,
talk about your company, and I want to talk about your roots and your founding story, because it always fascinates me on this show why people build what they build. I think it's a lot more than just MRR, this monthly recurring revenue and kind of like a productized service. I think there's a lot more to your story than just that. I think you've obviously put your flag in the sand in this sort of digital PR space. So I'd love to hear your story from meeting your co-founder and kind of like your steps all the way up to launching Linkify.
Sure. So yeah, I graduated from University of Liverpool in the UK with a degree in economics. And then I did what any normal sort of young, fresh out of college 21-year-old does. I took over the family business of fish and chips here in the UK. So I ran a fish and chip fast food restaurant for about 13 years. And then it was around that point that I started getting into sort of blog income reports and seeing this, like, you know, side hustling, make money online. So I started my first personal finance site right about the time that the pandemic hit. I also got diagnosed type 1 diabetic as well at that time. So I knew that hustling in the fish and chip shop, stood on my feet for, you know, 12, 13 hours a day, wasn't going to be something long-term sustainable. And I started getting traction with this personal finance website. I started making like $1,000 a month quite quickly. And then I started to understand the importance of backlinks and growing that SEO in order to have that evergreen free traffic from Google. That's when I started doing Harrow and answering journalist requests. And I was pretty good at that. I started getting links, free links, natural free links just from answering journalists. And then as I sort of started to understand that process and what it was that they were looking for, and I was getting better and better and better at it, that's when I was getting better and better links. So, you know, I went from some of the easier sites right the way through to getting featured on Forbes, New York Times, New York Post, BBC. Massive, massive publications, huge authority. And it was around that time that I wanted to diversify my link building strategy and start looking at doing some guest posts just to power up some of those like inner pages. And that's when I came across my business partner. So I hired him to run a guest post campaign for me. And whilst he was working on that, he'd looked at my backlink profile for my site and he said, "Hey, where did you get all these like massive links from? How did you get featured on Forbes and New York Times?" Yeah. And I said, "Oh, I've just been answering these journalists requests." And he was like, "Oh, that's really cool." He said, "Do you think you could do that for some of my clients?" And I said, "Yeah, I don't see why not. You know, as long as they give me permission to pitch as them and, you know, we have an understanding." So he said, yeah, let's give it a go. And we quickly noticed that sort of organic demand and need for one, these sorts of links, getting these sorts of links, and two, having somebody with like the knowledge and the time to be able to do that. Cause it's quite time and labor intensive and there's quite a steep learning curve. So that was something that we were able to understand and see from customers early on, that there was an organic demand for this service. And that's when we then, you know, spoke to each other and said, "Should we start a company here? Should we see if we can grow this?" We started Linkify about 3 years ago and, you know, it's been great ever since. Yeah, it's been fun.
Well, it's really interesting, you know. So I have a question for you. I think a lot of people listening are like, they've heard, and you mentioned it too, about this white hat and getting white hat links. But there are also, there's things called black hat. And there's a place called Black Hat World. I think there's even like this very famous online forum that maybe has kind of turned a little more positive than its old school negative roots. But then there's also a thing called gray hat. So are you able to explain to our listeners kind of what these three different types of link building and SEO strategy, white hat, black hat, gray hat?
Sure. So there's different schools of thought. Really, what white hat means is that you're 100% obeying by the laws of Google as it outlines in its documentation and its best practices. Essentially, you're aiming to not gain the algorithm, but any sort of trying to rank in Google is trying to gain the algorithm. So what Google wants you to do is to produce great content and have a great website and attract natural backlinks. And Google says publicly, if you do great content, if you have a great website, then you'll get natural backlinks and will rank you. Now, that isn't really the case. We all know that. And grey hats and black hats, they take it to the extreme where they will try and purposely see where they can make changes and implement different strategies in order to do the absolute best that they possibly can within the search engine result pages. So for us, though, we're a firm believer that staying on the right side of Google because of the, you know, the numerous updates that happen is probably in your best interest, or at least if you can earn quality links that are going to be the least amount of, have the least amount of possible detrimental impact to your website, then you're keeping yourself as safe as humanly possible. So the way that that tends to work is, for example, a link from a massive publication, for example, if you get from Forbes or New York Times, these publications are so vast, so well respected, so ingrained that Google will never ever devalue these publications. And by that nature, any links that you've earned from these publications will almost certainly be safe for all of time. And whereas black hats, what they will try and do is they will see certain sites, I don't know if you've heard of like personal private blog networks, niche edits, these sorts of tactics that you can use in order to build very specific links with very targeted anchor text in order to have the best possible ROI and maximum results. The problem with this approach is it's risky. So there have been numerous updates in the past where Google has just absolutely blanketly devalued a whole host of websites and all of the sites that they're linking to. And we've seen huge traffic drops. We've seen websites completely drop out of the search results completely. So at Linkify, we pride ourselves on offering a safe form of link building to our customers, whereby these links have not been purchased in any way. They are earned media links. So rather than paying for a link, you're paying Linkify to earn those links for you. And that's via either answering journalist requests on platforms like Harrow, or if the journalist is tweeting, looking for an expert source, or we're going to be running PR campaigns. And that's where we'll put together a story, craft a story that represents you, your brand, your website, your e-com store. We'll take that to a list of journalists, and we'll hope that that story will get picked up and it will get lots of coverage and earn lots of links.
This is lovely. Actually, went into Ahrefs, and it's a kind of a tool I use for SEO. And this is, you're right on the mark. It's so interesting. When I launched e-commerce Fastlane back in 2015 is when I acquired it. It took more than a year to get my first kind of referring domain. And I can see the history over time through 2016, 2017. It was a very slow burn. Like, you know, by 2019, there was 251 referring domains. 2020, 283. 21, I had 414. Then in 23, 509. Well, about maybe 700. And then you see a very significant curve going up. And I think a lot of this would happen over the years. And now there's I wish I could show you visually. And I think a lot of brands can experience this if you really choose to go down this path of creating relevant, high quality, helpful content. You'll see that people are going to link to you organically over time and have this earned media approach, because I have a very hockey stick kind of growth curve now up and to the right. So, you know, January of 2023, I had, you know, 700 referring domains, but, you know, now there's 2,800 referring domains now, like literally a year later in January of 24. And so it just shows you that, and we produce a lot of content. And I think a lot of brands are learning this now. Well, that's why a lot of brands now are releasing podcasts, because I, you know, when I look at the backlink, I'm just trying to kind of corroborate your story about earned media. But like when I look at the backlink profile, like I'm clearly in the Shopify, you know, I put my flag in the sand for Shopify. So I have a DR95 from Shopify, like quite a few of them, where they're linking to content that I've produced.
And that's a fantastic link
to me from their DR95, which is extremely high. And there's quite a few other ones. And then the Spotify's and the Bing's and, you know, and the Yahoo Finance. And you just keep scrolling down. There's lots of like DR95s and 90s that are linking to me. Hence why, as you said, you know, these are massive publications. They have a huge trust and authority, their expertise in their field.
Exactly.
And those links never devalue over the years. And so I think no wonder Fastlane, for example, is a DR71. that's part of the reason why producing great content, but then having these Aharo and other like places saying, no, these, because a lot of times we're doing guest posting, you always hear the story about, hey, it's okay to have a link or two, like to selfishly promote your own thing, but find other external authoritative links that you're publishing out to kind of like help the overall content. Well, I think all of a sudden, a lot of brands now are being linked out to their content or to their product pages as part of other people's content strategy. So what's your comment on that?
In terms of earning links, for us, the sort of digital PR that we do, the expert quotes and the Harrow and the digital PR, it tends to be a homepage link. It tends to go directly to the homepage, but that has some huge benefits. So that will bolster all of your other SEO efforts, all of your other content, your on-page, your off-page, everything that you're doing, that authority is getting sent directly to your homepage. And then if you can spread that juice out throughout your site with your own internal linking policies, then that's how you can power up everything else that you're doing on the site. And that's great. In terms of specific product pages and category pages, the way that we approach that is that we like to have a really great piece of content put onto the site, and that'll be done by us, or it could have been or already exist from the client. And then if that piece of content is worthy of a news story, obviously if it doesn't exist, then we can create it. And if we have that content really, really closely aligned with the sorts of products that the Shopify store or the e-com store is selling, then what we're able to do is actually outreach the media to that specific page. And then within that page, we can internally link to, let's say, the 2, 3, 4, or 5 most important product or category pages that you're looking to rank. And that's going to send that link juice that you've earned the media from to that post that we've reached out to the media to. And then when we start earning those links, we can spread that to those core pages. So it's a really clever strategy, but it's super simple and it works as well.
Yeah, this is lovely. So I'd love to hear a story around a brand that you're working with, because I think I'm motivated and I think my listeners are really motivated too when they say, hey, you know, here's a brand that, you know, traditionally, like most, are paid acquisition. They're just kind of finding the net new customer. I know that the CAC, the acquisition costs are high. ROAS is getting very challenging to be profitable on the first sale. We know if it's an organic conversion, then it almost has an acquisition cost of zero almost. I mean, there is a cost associated, and we'll talk about ROI in a few minutes, but there is a cost associated to producing content and having a great website that people want to point to and getting this earned media that you talked about. It could be a product launch. There could be some partnerships with celebrities. There's all different things you can do to kind of build some PR and have links going back to these pages. But I just would love if you could kind of share a story around a brand that you worked with, ideally a Shopify brand, and saying, hey, they decided to get involved and do this sort of thing. And then what did they see as a result based on the service that you do offer?
Yeah, I mean, without revealing client names, we've recently just wrapped up a campaign with an apparel e-com brand. They came into us with a reasonable amount of organic traffic, and importantly, they were on an up trajectory, which is good. Although you can have success with, you know, flatline traffic, PR campaigns, these sorts of links, especially if built in, you know, quickly in a short period of time, which is how PR operates, it can bring back to life sites that are flatlined. But in this particular example, this apparel e-com brand, had a nice steady rise. They weren't doing anything special, but they were looking quite nice. So we did some fantastic PR campaigns for them, built a bunch of fantastic links, and right through these latest two core updates from Google, their traffic has continued to grow. And what's important as well is that their conversions and their sales have actually increased as well. So we see two main benefits from these sorts of links. I like to call it the Shark Tank effect. So if you go on any sort of e-com site, the way you've seen these people appear on Shark Tank, you'll notice that almost all of these companies will have the Shark Tank logo as being featured on the front page of the website, amongst other huge websites that they've also appeared on. And what this does is it does two things. First of all, they've got links from these huge publications, which algorithmically boosts their SEO and their traffic, like it did for our client. And also it instills confidence in the customers. So as soon as that customer lands on that page and they see these huge brands and publications, it's a vote of confidence for that particular brand, and it gives the customer much more confidence in making the purchase. So you get those two core values from getting those sorts of links. And with this particular apparel e-com brand that we've seen, like I said, we built some fantastic links over the course of about 6 months, and their traffic has gone right through on an upward trajectory all the way through these latest two core updates. And another client we recently worked with had been flatlining for about a year and a half. So reasonable traffic, but absolutely zero movement up or down, which isn't great if you're looking to, you know, grow your company, increase your sales, increase your revenue. You want to have an uptick in organic, especially if a reasonable proportion of your sales is coming from organic. That's something that you want to increase. They were doing content, on-page SEO, off-page, doing everything. We did some PR for them.
So it was a full meal deal then. So they had everything on the roll here. So on-page, meaning actually make tweaks and edits to collections and product pages, or, you know, based on what you're trying to rank for. And then off-page would be where you're linking to, and think about who's linking into these pages. And that's kind of what, you know, what you're kind of mentioning. I actually have an interesting case study too, where when I was with Shopify, I had a brand that I managed, and they are in the apparel market, women's dresses, and they really want to rank for a particular keyword. And they did a lot of kind of on-page work and internal linking to kind of, and this was a pillar collection page that was really important to them as their number one selling kind of collection of products or collection of dresses. And over time, they were able to, you know, within a 3 to 4 month period, you know, they're now ranking like number one or number two in their target top of funnel, like primary keyword, which is, has like ridiculous amounts of traffic on it. And so they're really happy. And so can happen, but it has to go in unison with exactly what you're talking about authoritatively inbound links along with on-page kind of SEO strategy. They really can work synergistically together. So.
Oh yeah, it's 100% a holistic approach. So if, you know, sometimes we have clients come to us and they'll say, hey, if, you know, if I just build some PR links, is my traffic going to explode? And the answer is almost certainly not. You have to be doing everything else as well. You have to be optimizing your, you know, all your H2 tags. You have to be optimizing your product descriptions. You have to be doing all of the stuff that you should be doing. But then on top of that, this really is the creme de la creme of powering up everything else that you're already doing. And when you get some fantastic features, and especially if you get a story that goes viral, it's sending huge signals to Google that you've just not only been featured in the Huffington Post and the BBC, but this story's then been picked up by 50 other publications, and it's your brand. You know, it's a branded homepage link, and it's getting picked up from multiple huge publications. And this really sort of knee-jerks Google into crawling your site more, seeing what's going on. Why are all these huge publications linking to this property? And then you can see some really good results in a relatively short period of time.
It's very cool. You know, and I do get emails occasionally from, you know, I guess I would call them more legacy kind of PR companies that say, hey, you know, we have a relationship with like, you know, 250 of the kind of biggest, baddest kind of media properties. And we're willing to do like a press release and, you know, for X number of hundreds or $1,000 or whatever, and they'll blast out your 500 word, your 1,000 word press release. You know, it seems that some people are doing these kind of one-offs and not thinking of the overall strategy. What's your thought on this kind of like pray and spray approach for these like traditional PR companies that almost seem like it's syndicated with canonicals that are, you know, or they're not even do follow links. I just want to get your understanding, because the reason I'm asking this question is I think there's a lot of like misunderstanding about what it means to get published on a high authority page with, you know, earned media versus like paying money to be blasted out to a whole bunch of other of these web properties.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you just summed it up there with the elements that you described. So, and I actually tweeted about this about a couple of days ago, actually. So I came across a post from an ex-client. So we track all the media mentions and alerts, and we had a prior client that I got alerted to that, and they'd been featured in this publication on entrepreneur.com, which is a fantastic publication, huge domain authority, massive amounts of organic traffic. And I saw this, and I always look at old clients where they're being featured, you know, if they're using new strategies or different journalists are covering different areas. And I looked at this post, and two things screamed out at me straight away. Even though it was entrepreneur.com, it almost looked like a roundup post. So it was a really vague title, and there was 21 comments and links. So expert from X, Y, and Z, link. Expert two says, small paragraph, link. And all of these experts had absolutely zero relevancy to each other. So there was a payroll firm, there was a dog grooming company, absolutely zero sort of topical relevancy to each other. And when I dig deeper, I noticed immediately that this was one of those PR company's press release services that you said that you receive in your emails. And when I dived into the HTML code, the first thing that I noticed was that this was marked as a sponsored piece of content. And that's in the HTML code. So this isn't earned media. This is a company that's got a relationship with a publication. And for an amount of money, that publication has agreed to publish a story and allow a certain amount of links within that story. So there is actually zero value to this. And it can be very expensive for the people that are paying for it, but there's no value and it's not editorially earned. So it's not going to get picked up by other publications because it's not really a news story. It's just a published press release or a published piece of sponsored content. Whereas if you do PR properly, then you are offering value to the journalist and the story that they are producing. And then this can have the opportunity to go viral and get picked up by multiple publications and send all of those juicy positive signals that you want to you and your brand. So the way I sort of concluded that in the tweet was that if you're going to basically just pay to be featured in a large publication, then first of all, Google knows that you've paid for it. And second of all, anybody that sees that is going to know that you as a company paid for it. And that doesn't look great from you as a business perspective. And it helps you almost absolutely and not at all from an algorithmic perspective from Google. So you really want to make sure that if you're getting PR, it's earned media. It's been earned by either you, if you're doing it yourself, or from the company that you've hired to do it for you.
Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned that like homepage and then is kind of ideal in some cases, because then you can choose how that link juice is passed down kind of internally. So I understand that kind of value to mm-hmm. some of these like important collection pages and stuff. And but what about the PDP page, like the product details page? Like I understand that there's going to be, or you have a service that's available like for, hey, I want to actually promote this particular product as earned media. Like, can you talk a little bit about that option?
So I briefly touched on it before. The simplest strategy to do is to try and direct the link juice. So the first thing you have to remember with PR is that first and foremost, as SEOs or as Shopify store owners or e-com store owners, we're looking to get links and media coverage. And that's to benefit us, our stores, our revenue, our sales, our organic traffic. That's why we want to get featured in these publications. The journalists, on the other hand, so the people that we need to try and get to include links back to our sites, their primary objective is to create a story that satisfies their bosses at the publications that they work for. So it needs to be a story that gets picked up. It's interesting. It gets read. So there is a disconnect between what we're trying to achieve and what they're trying to achieve. However, there is that sort of alignment where we can meet in the middle. Where it's very difficult to get past is, you know, can you link to this very specific product description page if it doesn't offer any value, or if there's no reason for the journalist to enhance their story or to pick up that story? So the two caveats to that are, first of all, if you have a very interesting, unique product, then we can definitely create viral buzz stories, newsjacking. We can definitely get ways to get that specific page featured if we can come up with something newsworthy about that particular product. So if it's been used in some sort of event, or, you know, if it's something that's been gone viral on TikTok maybe, or there's an interesting story that relates to the product, then we can definitely put that story together and reach out to the media. And there's a high chance that they will link to that product because it's an important pillar of that particular story that's being told. And then outside of that, your best bet is to find a very closely related story that's has much more wide appeal and will resonate with journalists, and then have that page published on your blog section of your Shopify store. And then on that page, we're going to just internally link to those 2, 3, 4 product description pages that we want to rank for. And we're just going to pass that super powerful juice that we earn to that particular page and spread it across those other pages that we want to rank.
Love it. What about the regulated markets? Because I know there's lots of people listening that are selling CBD. Mm-hmm. Or they're involved, some are listening for sure, that are involved in gaming and other kind of regulated markets, even the alcohol market. And so I'm curious, is kind of like how do you get earned media in regulated markets?
That's a great question. Okay, so we don't do guns, we don't do porn. I think outside of that, you've got a good shot. We've got a couple of CBD clients currently. You do have to really think about the angle you're going to take. Casino is very doable. A lot of earned media, especially digital PR campaigns, the UK is very much a big player in that industry. So UK market, it's really doable, and US as well. What you need to do is you need to craft stories where you're almost sneaking in the link. You're not sneaking the link in to deceive the journalist, but you're hiding behind a hyper-relevant story, and you're offering huge amounts of value, be it from a data study that's been conducted or expert comments from an expert that is a representative of that site. So the way that we do this a lot would be, so for example, a cannabis website. There's often CBD sections on the cannabis website, and these CBD sections can be really related to relaxation, can be sleep. And so what you can do is you can hire a sleep doctor, and you can put together a story about, you know, different new sleep techniques with a data study. And that will have been conducted by your sleep doctor representing that cannabis site. So you're almost doing something of much more high value, but that's being offered from that website from a much more restrictive niche. Same with casino. You can hire health experts and do addiction studies. There's so many creative things that you can do. You just need to offer maximum value so that when they are linking back to the casino or the CBD or the cannabis website, it's not in any way promotional of that sort of taboo subject, but instead it's something of much more journalistic interest.
All right. That's really good strategy. And thank you for kind of opening the kimono, so to speak, and kind of sharing that. Because I think a lot of people kind of wondered, even though you are directly linking, but you can find other kind of helpful, authoritative type content that really is educational, but it happens to have a link also to that. I've seen that even on our own site where we try to focus in on business and marketing and kind of direct to consumer. But then, you know, you wonder why maybe someone's trying to promote a dietary supplement, let's say like a nootropic supplement for focus. And that could be very, in its good value, maybe in the entrepreneurship kind of self-employment kind of, hey, are you getting distracted as an entrepreneur and yada, yada, yada. And they go down that journey of telling the story. And then all of a sudden, well, hey, by the way, there's like X, Y, and Z product available, this nootropic that's going to help you with focus and memory and these sort of things. So that, I think that's kind of what you're mentioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as well, I think it's important to note that you can almost relate any Shopify e-com store, whatever niche that a particular website is operating in, there is a broader news story that would resonate with journalists.
Right. So we are kind of nearing the end of the show for today, and I've learned a ton. I've scrambled down like a ton of notes. That's actually a good episode. I always joke
that's
about
good.
Like, when you write lots of notes, that means like I have this life of learning kind of mantra, and and I love organic traffic. I think that not a lot of brands are executing on it as well as they should, because they just get caught up maybe in the immediacy of kind of paid ads and also trying to do the retention marketing through loyalty and other things for the second, third, and fourth sale. And I get all those strategies. And I think those are important, but I also believe that it is important to build your topical authority over time. And part of it is exactly what you guys offer. And that's kind of why I had you on the show today. I want to make sure that we educate people. So what are kind of the next steps? I know you have an offer for us too, but like, where do you want our listeners to go? If this is of interest to them and they want to learn more about Linkify, like, what do you want to do as kind of the next steps for everyone?
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite active on Twitter, Linkify_. Come to our website, linkify.io. You can book a call with us if you want to speak to me or any of the team. And we have our podcast as well, Market Movers, which is available on all of the streaming platforms. I'm also quite active at conferences as well. I don't know if your audience is at conferences, so I tweet about that as well. So maybe a pint in person if anyone's about any of the upcoming conferences.
It's lovely. Market Movers. I'll make sure I have a link to that in the show notes. And that 15 kind of, we chat about 15% off for anybody that kind of quotes e-commerce Fastlane, then, you know, and your prices seem quite affordable, to be quite honest with you. You have a couple different options, really, depending on the investment you want to make. But at the end of the day, you know, within, you know, 2 to 6 months, you're going to have, depending on the size of it, but, you know, 2 to 6 months or less, you're going to have a lot of earned media from high authority, DR79 or higher, you know, contextually relevant content and link back to to your homepage, and then the process of how you're distributing that link juice through essential product and collection pages is something that your team can kind of work with. So I think this is wonderful, and I want to thank you so much for sharing and being honest and transparent about this whole industry, because it unfortunately SEO market has a little bit of a cloud, so to speak. But I'm glad to hear that, you know, we're doing it completely white hat and above board, and we're getting high quality authoritative inbound links contextually relevant from high authority properties. I think this is lovely.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me, Steve. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Have yourself a great evening. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.